249-28, Real 10.
Situation. I was interested to discuss whether you had had much to do with the Americans at this point.
Well, our first get together with the Americans was when they appeared on the scene towards the end of Alamein. They came in with their B-25 Mitchells, and they were a pretty good aircraft. And we, on 223 Squadron, took them under our wing to show them the way to do formation bombing. And they latched on fairly quickly. And on most of our raids that we did at that stage, we used to have six of the Mitchells in one of our boxes of 18. After they'd been going for some time, they must have thought they knew it all, because then they took off to try and go off in formations of their own. Whether they went off in 18s or not, I can't remember. They couldn't understand why we went off in 18s. They didn't cotton on to weaving to avoid the flak. They used to go straight in. And when they lost a couple of aircraft, they sort of came to their senses. They flew with us for quite a while, from Alamein and after Alamein up the coast, and then they sort of disappeared to go off on their own. They appeared with us again when we were up in Tunisia, and it was at this stage that they really used to come in, and we increased our bombing formations from 18s up to 48, and we used to go over with these, to us, massive formations, dropping these lots of bombs, and it used to be a very effective way of making ourselves felt on the ground. I've got in my logbook here a raid on the landing ground at Korba South up in Tunisia. Results good. Large explosion and fire, several small fires, probably aircraft. Landing ground raided by 18 Baltimores of 223 Squadron, 18 Baltimores of 55 Squadron, 36 B-25s of the 12th Bombardment Group. Escort, 48 Warhawks. We rendezvoused at Monster before the raid, and there were Spitfires over the target in dozens. Opposition was nil, and a destroyer sighted northeast of target area, last seen going north at full speed, probably a day ago, and in brackets I've got here, it was. The photos that we took, that were taken after this raid, showed that we've knocked out about 20 of their aircraft. Amongst them were big Ju-52s, which are the tri-motor aircraft that they carried troops in. And that again was a bit of a suspicion to us. Why were they there? The next thing that we had with the Yanks with us, one of the things that the army was faced with were the gun positions that the Germans took up on the hills, firing down on the troops. And we used to be given pinpoints of certain gun positions, and the Air Force would be invited to go out and obliterate them. And this is what we tried to do. And in the raid here, I've got gun positions north of Umfideville. Results not observed. 18 Baltimores, escort 24 Warhawks, 12 Spitfires, AT-AT heavy and very accurate. Wireless operator, Flight Sergeant Natras hit by shrapnel. He was wounded. So he pulled out of the raid and took him back to base for him to be operated on. Dropping bombs on these positions, the bombs we dropped were different to the ones we did in the desert. They were ones that did penetrate the ground. They were still 250-pounders. Mm. It was after these raids in the mountain area that we were swung to a different sort of target, and these were the islands between the mainland and over towards Italy.
Just before we go to that, I'm interested to, you mentioned off air the Americans and how well equipped they were. How were they generally seen, and in what way were they equipped better than you would think?
Well, we didn't consider them. We thought that their aircraft were very nice, but they were bigger than ours, and they had more crew. We didn't consider them better than ours because we were hardened sinners, as it were. Their mess facilities, their food, and everything that they got was much better than what the Royal Air Force provided us with. And quite often we used to sneak over and mess with the mob that we had been flying with. And they used to have good hot dinners and things like that. We never got that sort of thing very often. I don't consider that the Air Force cooks were very good. Neither was the Air Force food. It wasn't until much later that things improved up in Italy. That's another story, perhaps. One thing with the Americans, they liked our cigarettes. Funnily enough, they liked our Woodbines. Why the hell, I don't know, because the Woodbine cigarette was bloody awful. But we used to swap them tins of Woodbine cigarettes for their tins of meat, and particularly tin bacon and tin hot dogs and things like that. We never saw those, so we used to swap them for those. We had the Americans as our ground support with anti-aircraft guns around the aerodromes. And their anti-aircraft guns consisted, I don't know what they were bigger than a half-inch job, and they fired a bloody big, they must have been 20-millimetre guns. And they used to make their bases at their anti-aircraft guns around the edge of our aerodrome. So we got to know those fellas fairly well too. They were with us. They were a nice mob. The earlier crowd were very professional. I think they'd done all their training back in America, and then as a squadron, they were sent over from America. Well, it's different to us. We had to make ourselves up from the start. We built ourselves up into a squadron through sheer bloody hard work in the desert. They came over already equipped, and they let us know too. But they were quite good blokes.
You mentioned they didn't have tents.
No, well, they did have tents, but they were much different from ours. We had I don't know what they're called ours, we had EPIP tents, which had the messes in them, and we had the normal old tents that you see all over the world. but they had rather posh type tents. Oh yes, all mod cons, very nice. Their flying gear was different to ours. They had everything laid on. If we wanted anything, we had to fight for it. I had a beautiful urban jacket, which was a fleecy lined leather jacket, which was absolutely beautiful. I managed to extract that from the stores. Only used that when we did high flying. Otherwise, we just dressed in shorts and shirt and flying boots. You never saw a Yank like that. No way.
That's a swish looking.
Yeah.
You wanted to talk about your situation on Pantelleria.
Well, it was after in Tunisia, we were then put on the job of raiding these areas on the island of Pantelleria. Now, what we were doing there, I don't know, but I think it was probably gun positions, because the islands of Pantelleria were on the way to Sicily, I think it was, and we used to go over in formations there to drop our bombs on particular areas at Pantelleria. One of them is here, Pantelleria. We started several fires on a drone, aerodrome, raided by 18 Baltimores of 223 Squadron, 18 Bolts of 55 Squadron, 18 Bolts of 21 Squadron South Africans, 19 Bostons of South Africans, and 18 Mitchells of the USAAF. Formation attacked by two Mackie 202s, one shot down, confirmed by escort. Spitfires escorting us had a party with a few more bandits. Ack, heavy, intense, inaccurate. And that was our first raid in Pantelleria. We were sent out again a couple of days later to raid on... these are aerodromes at Pantelleria, and when you look at the pictures that were taken, you'd wonder where the hell a drone was. Raid on a drone at Pantelleria, results good, several fires, one of them visible for 90 miles after leaving target. Now, I don't know what it was that we would have got then, but it was a good one. And we had the same mob over there with us, the Bostons from the South Africans and the Mitchells with the Yanks. There was enemy shipping sighted off Cape Bon. Now, this was the first shipping that we had ever seen, apart from that one Dago ship. And on this this raid, we also saw what we thought was we did two raids that day on Pantelleria, and the second one was more or less in the same area. Same mob went over with all these Mitchells and Bostons and that. We must have made a hell of a mess, because after our raids, they never saw another aircraft in the area.
You mentioned that you were to experience fighters there as well. Tell us the experience that you had. I understand you were to be attacked by a Mackie.
Yeah, well, this was the... our formation was attacked by the two Mackies. They came head-on at us and blasted away, didn't hit anyone. We could see their guns twinkling. And then they dived down below us and went around the front of the formation again, and then came up on must have been our starboard side. Our pilot had a crack at them from the front and then said, there's one coming up on your starboard side, Mac, you'll see it in a minute. And there it was. It came up and was just going to turn in and have another crack. And I got him. Boom. That was my first aircraft.
What was the feeling like to know that you had a kill in the air?
Well, I didn't think of it like that. I just thought of knocking down an aircraft. I was very glad to hear that the pilot bailed out. That was a satisfactory feeling that I got an aircraft. Yeah, it was.
Your position, I understand, a vulnerable one, given that generally rear guns and guns in turrets were headed for initially by the.
That's right. Well, I think that's what I was trying to do, is trying to come up over the top from the front to knock the mid upper turrets out. Well, he missed out. That was the feeling about it. I'm glad in a way that they weren't German, because I think if they were German fighters, they would have got us. But nevertheless, it was a fighter that was having a crack at us.
This is coming close to September, I presume.
May. This is May. Through to May, we finished raids about then, and we were sent back down to the Heliopolis. We went back to our old base.
How did the rest of the crew see your downing a plane?
I thought it was great. Yeah. We still had a few raids to go. Here we go. They've gone May, June. We've gone into June, and we had to go on raiding gun positions on Pantala Rear. I've got here raid on enemy strong positions at Pantala Rear. Four fires, position raided 12 bolts. It was just us, this attack. We passed over the invasion fleet, which was going to the island. And here I've got Pantala Rear capitulated, also Lampedusa in June.
Well, May, obviously we're looking at the campaign in North Africa ending. What was the feeling like to know that was a success?
Well, we sort of hadn't really thought much about it then. It was a matter of not doing any more raids. When you stop doing raids, you sort of flop down, and that's finished. You can have a rest. And that's what happened. We were bound back down into the Delta area, back in Egypt. This was Sicily was invaded on the 10th of the 7th, 1943. Now, we weren't in on the invasion of Sicily. We'd been sent back down to Cairo sort of area. Now, it was at this stage that our pilot, Cookie Leon, was extracted from the squadron and sent to a school over in Palestine somewhere. I forget what the school is called, but it was a pretty hot shot university type thing for blokes who were pretty high up. And I was sent back down to Helwan in the Cairo area, And I flew with a fellow called Flight Lieutenant Hogg from 55 Squadron. And I went as the air gunner. And when you take off in a Baltimore, they're radial engines. And when you start them up on the ground, you've got to be very careful they don't overheat. So they've got things called gills that open up all around the pots. After you, when you take off, you close your gills, because if you don't, the turbulence that's made by them is pretty terrific. Well, this bastard didn't know very much about them, I don't think, because he took off with the bloody gills open. Now, I've got here, this was my most hairy trip. Hogg was a dreadful pilot. One, he took off with engine gills open. I had to pass a note to him at 1,000 feet as he hadn't plugged his intercom in. And then on the takeoff from Marble Arch or El Adam or somewhere, he nearly hit the tents as he took off. And, oh, God, I was bloody glad when we landed down in the Cairo area at Hell Long. He was hopeless. Don't ever think I ever saw him again.
Important, I presume, once you've maintained this sort of team spirit, when your pilot left, there was a severe hole.
That's right, a bloody big hole. And to fly with somebody like that was pretty terrifying, I can tell you. Yeah. The worst trip that I'd ever done. Oh, Jesus. On here I've got 17th of the 8th, 1943, Sicily's had it. Now I went, got taken down to a place called Ishmaelia, and I flew down from a place called Shandur with Wing Commander Masterman, who was our pilot. He was a terrific guy. He was a South African, and I had no problems with him at all. We took off from him, flew to Ishmaelia, and then he took me up then to Prang at aircraft with a camera gun. I had quite a time with him then, but this was from Ishmaelia. And at Ishmaelia, this was our first tour of operations had ended. And I was made an instructor at the operational training unit at this aerodrome.
What was it like to be made an instructor?
Hairy.
Why?
Because you're flying with people that you didn't know, and also, which was even worse, we were flying an aircraft called Anson's. Have you ever heard of
them? I've heard of them. I'm not sure I knew that they were hairy, though.
Well, Anson's were the first aircraft of the Royal Australian Air Force, and they were considered to be big bombers and all the rest, but... we flew in Anson's with the Sprog wireless operators teaching them how to operate sets in the air. However, I got to know the pilots fairly well, and my trust was with them. And I used to instruct the unfortunate wireless operators, and I used to always hope to Christ that we'd get back to base again. One of the fellows that I flew with quite a little bit was a fellow called Warrant Officer Campbell, who was an Australian. When you fly an aircraft, you always have to do an air test. And I went up with him on several occasions, and he showed me how to fly an Anson. I never took off in one, but I managed to bring one round and face it down to touch down the landing. He took over from the final landing, but he did teach me how to fly an aircraft, and that was good. I had a whole heap of different pilots that I flew with, but one of the things was the fact that you flew straight and level, and it was quite boring, but you had to keep your wits about you in order to instruct the unfortunate wireless operators who didn't really know very much. On one occasion, I've got here Warrant Officer Campbell, duty was instructor, WTOK, sighted Dago battleship, the Victoria Veneto, in canal near Ishmaelia. And that was this huge battleship that somehow or other they got from the Mediterranean and were taking it through the canal down, I don't know where. And it was bloody huge. How it managed to get through, I don't know. If it had sunk in the canal, that would have been the finish. Still instructing in November 1943.
Obviously, we'd passed the Italians changing sides in September. What was the feeling towards the Italians now that they were on your side?
Well, we were too busy doing this sort of thing for that. It was in 28th of the 12th, 1943, to the 31st of the 12th, 43, still flying, teaching blokes how to operate. I went into 1944, still on Anson's, to the 5th of the 1st, 1944, and then things began to change because we were going to be sent to Italy. And here I was posted. Cookie Leon turned up again. He'd been to the Staff College, that's what they were called, and he had been granted his squadron leader as substantive, and he was going to be made a wing commander. At any rate, Cookie turned up and grabbed me and Nat and said, "We've been made members of 13 Squadron." So we joined 13 Squadron on the 10th of the 1st, 1944. And we left 13 Squadron on the 16th of the 1st, 1944, because he'd been made a wing commander and handed 55 Squadron as his squadron. And then from the 19th of the 1st, 44, we flew together till 1945. It was about
I'm interested to know what news you were hearing from Australia, and particularly from the Pacific side of things.
None. We must have, yes, but I've got nothing here anywhere. Pioneer claim of 13 Squadron. What's 13? No. Quite honestly, the letters that I got from home never ever mentioned anything like this at all. They couldn't. And we never got very much information at all. We were in our own little world with the Royal Air Force, and we were here doing a job in Egypt, going to Italy, and I don't think we ever, it never occurred to us.
How are you seeing the war at this stage? What sort of idea did you have about how it was all heading?
We were wondering what we were going to do and how we were going to do it. At this stage, it was becoming quite important that we stuck together as we had been made into 55 Squadron, and we had to then get to work and familiarise ourselves with a whole lot of new things. We didn't know where we were going and didn't know what we were flying into, because the whole situation was totally, totally different.